It turns out that getting well and getting a good film out of it are not mutually exclusive propositions. We talk with Bud Clayman about OC87, the obsessive-compulsive major depression bipolar Asperger's movie, on this episode of Mighty Movie Podcast.
Making this film has been really difficult for me because I have OCD and Asperger's. It's not gonna work. This is not a film about hand washing. It's a film about thoughts. It's a film about the fear of acting on thoughts.
If I cut myself here, that means I'm going to get angry, and then if I get angry, I'm going to
kill somebody.
I'll imagine in my head I'm stabbing somebody else.
That makes me nervous.
I would sit in therapy and we'd just sit like this.
No, I can't do it.
Getting nauseous now. Hate these people.
You see the door shut all the time, and that's, you know, I'm in there.
I cord, because I don't like cleaning things.
My suggestion, get on that.
Yeah, I don't like when she says, get on that.
I don't like you worrying about me in the sense that you're going to try and control me. If I feel like I want to swing from the rafters, I want to be able to do it.
A part of me doesn't like filmmaking.
Oh, God, I can't deal with this.
I don't feel I'm in control at all on this project.
Right now, you feel like this could help you.
It might.
See,
I have a lot of anger in
it. I can see it in your eyes.
You can
man.
See it in my eyes.
Gotta risk being hurt, being in life, being in the flow. That's really important to me.
I'm moving more towards the social direction, more towards being connected, more towards being my own person. Getting normal means just being a part of everything. Being connected with people, yeah, that's what I want to be.
I'm Dan Persons, and welcome, everybody, to MMP. I'll say the full title once more. OC87, the obsessive-compulsive major depression bipolar Asperger's movie. That's a mouthful, but it describes both the voyage we're on in this documentary and the person who made it. Bud Clayman was well on his way to becoming a filmmaker when he was felled by multiple mental illnesses, including depression, including Asperger's, including obsessive-compulsive disorder. But out of years of suffering and subsequent therapy needed to pull himself from its depths, Bud found his way back to the camera and made this film, along with his co-directors Glenn Holston and Scott Johnston. It's a personal journal and exploration of the illnesses that keep people from living full and happy lives, and a call for those also afflicted to understand and accept their situation and seek help. It also isn't your normal documentary. There's a lot of Bud in here, his wit, his honesty, and even a side trip into the classic science fiction series Lost in Space, and a very relevant episode. And it all makes it a compelling glimpse into the world of mental illness and the day-to-day fight to escape its grasp. So here's my interview with Bud Clayman. Enjoy. I wanted to start off with a little bit of a tangential topic, because one thing about the documentary really did catch my attention. At one point, you talk about your love of Lost in Space, and in particular, one episode where John Robinson, the leader of the Robinson family, meets essentially his evil twin. And I just wanted to point out that I cut my science fiction teeth on Lost in Space way back when I was a child as well. So.
It was a great show.
You know what? Even at that age, I recognized that a lot of it was silly and dopey, but occasionally they managed to pull off
a good
story. And that one in particular was one of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was I felt that was their best episode, and I think they did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It particularly in strictly speaking, in terms of the filmmaking, they pulled off some neat things there. Let's talk about OC-87.
Okay.
First off, let's start off with that title, OC-87, because when I saw it, I sort of had the impression that it may have been some sort of official psychiatric designation, but that's not actually the case, is it?
No. excuse me. OC-87 was a phrase coined by one of my therapists. It refers to the year 1987 when I really started to control my entire world. I basically lived in my head. I had a very rigid work schedule. I worked very, very structured schedule. I didn't allow any spontaneity with people. I didn't make small talk with people. I would even control what television shows I would watch, when I would watch them. It was really a reaction to years that had preceded it, let me just digress for a second. I graduated college in 1985, and I had a lot of control, real control in college, mm-hmm. Over my schedule and choice of classes. And when I graduated in 85, I realized that I was just about going to have to face the real world for the first time, and I didn't really want to do that and work on. I'd have to work jobs on their terms, and I just didn't want to do that. And so for about 2 years, I worked a lot of freelance jobs in the film industry, a lot of production work, things like that, and I just, OC-87 was my attempt to just take over the world, basically, on my terms, but it made no sense, as I learned, later in therapy. It just made no sense.
Yeah, that is a question I'm curious about. At the point that it was happening in 1987, were you cognizant that it was happening?
No, I just knew that I was just going to put on the clamps tighter and tighter, and I was going to dominate the world, and I was going to do everything on my own terms. No, this term OC-87 really didn't take shape till I'd say maybe 6-7 years ago with my therapist.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, you came out of college. You did have a background in film. You did want to build a career in the film, and then you came to these personal issues with yourself and your growth as a person. When did the idea strike you to put the two together, your desire to be a filmmaker with your own personal voyage?
That didn't really happen till 2005, I believe. Mm-hmm. I was in a writer's class at a group that was run by the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. It was run by a group called Tikva, which is a Jewish support group for the mentally ill, but it was run at the NAMI headquarters in Glenside, Philadelphia, Glenside, Pennsylvania. Basically, the teacher there in the class, we were going to just had random topics, and she said to us, she went around the room and everybody picked topics, and I said therapy. So she wrote therapy on the easel on the board, and I wrote an essay called Therapy, and how therapy had empowered me. And I read the essay in class, and the person next to me said, "Hey, therapy empowered me too." And that really excited me that somebody else had loved therapy. And so I went home saying, "Hey, this would make a great idea for a documentary." So I started, the original title of the film was going to be called Therapy, and I was going to interview people, you know, kind of about their experiences in therapy and try and get them into therapy if they're not in therapy. And the film, that didn't really work out too well. And I spoke with Scott Johnston, our co-director, who eventually became our co-director. He was a program director at Project Transition, a rehab facility that I was in for about 8 years. And he had kind of clued me in on the ideas of mental illness recovery, you know, almost like an alcoholic is in recovery. And so I went back and worked on the script, did a lot of research on different diseases, and nothing came of it. And so I then contacted him a year later, and we went to work on the script for OC87. And when I say script, I'm talking about we developed situations, you know, because there's nothing, except for the loss in space scene, there's nothing really scripted in there. It's all real, but situations where we could interact, you know, I could interact with people and they could ask me questions and things like that. So that's basically how the idea started.
Mm-hmm. Now, Scott Johnson is one of your co-directors. You've also got Glenn Holstein.
Yeah, Glenn Holstein. Yes, he's our lead director. Scott Johnston is the second in command. Yes.
Right. And given your own issues with control, what was the experience of collaborating with these people on the film?
It was good and it was tough at times, because I was basically a small fish in a big pond. I mean, these guys had had experience, and our great editor, Kathleen Sillier, had a lot of experience. And so it was difficult. In the contract, I always had final say on everything, but, we worked it out. You know, there were sometimes some issues in the editing room, you know, we didn't want this person in, or we did want this person in. So, we would have to hash it out, you know, and, sometimes my anger issues would come out, you know, things like that. But, in the end, I think it worked out, but it's not something that I don't think I'd recommend it for everybody to do, three directing team. I mean, it worked, but I really believe film, even though it is a collaborative medium, I think you do need one director and one editor, and just to kind of unify the material. And I think we have a unified film, but I think for the experience of the filmmaker, it makes it a little easier if there's one director and one, you know, one editor.
I'm an auteurist myself, so
yeah, there you go. Yeah. you know what I'm talking about.
going back to the word, I mean, was the experience of doing the film a therapeutic experience in and of itself?
Yes, definitely, because all the fake rules that I had set up with OC87 in 1987, all the control, that just had to, that began to slowly wash away as I did the film, because I had to really, you know, give up control. I couldn't really control everybody, except in my mind, which I did try and do at times, but it didn't work. And it was very therapeutic for me and good for me to give up the control. And also, it helped me reconnect with people. It started the process of reconnecting with everybody, which is what I really sorely needed and I didn't have in 1987. I mean, I was working, I worked one job 5 days a week. And then when I moved to California and I'd say OC87 was still happening in my head, I worked 7 days a week, about 60 hours a week. And I was constantly with people, but I was never really interacting with them. I would have silent moments, really awkward silent moments with people. I'd get angry with them, and it was just a total withdrawal. So when I did OC87, you know, the movie, I really was forced to let go of all that CRAP in plain English. you know.
So, you know, the purpose of this documentary, I think, reaches beyond just being informational, and certainly beyond being entertainment, to a certain goal in terms of empathy. I mean, what were your goals for this in having seen this release, having seen it play around? What do you perceive of how the audiences are receiving it, and does it match up with what your intent was?
Well, first off, in terms of the release, the theatrical premiere is actually today in New York City.
Right.
Yes, at the Village East Cinema. But we have played in a lot of festivals. We've played at conferences and some mental health groups. And the it's been very good. People have really connected with the film. And our Facebook page is popping with a lot of fans, and people are coming out saying, you know, I really want to see this. I have this illness. I have that illness. So I hope what happens with the film is that it really creates in America, and I hope, and we're trying to go nationwide with the film, I hope it creates in America a real generalized and specific talking about mental illness, and that, you know, I mean, I envision like families who have maybe like a son or a daughter, and they don't know where to turn, and they know that their son or daughter has some issues, that they may be depressed or something, and they see this film and they say, hey, wait a second, that's what my son or daughter is going through. Maybe I can get help somewhere. And so that's my real main goal for the film, to really spread awareness about mental illness. And, you know, to really break down stigma in this society, which I think is very strong towards mental illness.
So you did come out of a filmmaking background, but these days, I mean, you are involved with the family business. You're involved with the Clayman Family Foundation, which is a mental health advocacy group.
The foundation recognizes a lot of causes, a lot of medical research for cancer we're doing. We're very involved with Damon Runyon Cancer Research, Multiple Sclerosis Society. So we do a lot of things. The business is no longer around. My dad has passed away since the film was finished. So he did see the rough cut. We always tell people that at the end of the movie. I'm probably giving away.
I put up a spoiler alert for this.
Yeah, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Turn your radios down or your laptops down. I'm sorry. Yes.
There's the clarification there. What I wanted to find out, though, is that having gone into this this particular project for as much your own personal growth as for the film itself, I wanted to find out, I mean, is this it for film for you? Do you want to continue on?
I don't know yet. I'm taking it very slowly. OC87 has this offshoot website called The Recovery Diaries. It's recoverydiaries.com. And it's a website for people who are in recovery and want to share their stories. It can be either through articles and pictures, audio recordings, films. And so I'm going to be executive producing that site for at least maybe through the fall and winter. I'm directing two videos. I already started shooting last week some videos of subjects who are in recovery, and you know, similar to myself, 3 to 4 minute, 4 to 5 minute pieces. Something that, you know, I can definitely handle. I do have a love-hate relationship with filmmaking, as I'm sure you know from OC87, the movie, because I had tough experiences at Temple University where I majored in filmmaking. It's a good school, but I couldn't handle all the competition. So that kind of soured me on filmmaking, but I'm trying to get back into it slowly. So we'll see. I mean, maybe I have another feature in me down the line, something I'd like to direct myself. But we'll have to see. I don't know yet. I'm just taking it slowly right now.
All of us have that. All of us involved with this business have that love-hate thing going on. So you're not alone in that. Just keep that
just
in mind.
Just know that, right?
But thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Dan. It was great being with you.
OC87, the obsessive-compulsive major depression bipolar Asperger's movie, is currently playing in New York and opened in Los Angeles on June 8th. It'll be opening in California and around the country in subsequent weeks through July. You can see the trailer at mightymoviepodcast.com, and the link to the official website is there as well. And if you want to write me, that email address is dan@mightymoviepodcast.com. And one more documentary before we take a little break, okay? We'll be talking with Matthew Akers, the director of Marina Abramović, The Artist is Present, a documentary about the legendary performance artist and a particularly legendary piece that she did. And it's a surprising experience. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. This has been a production of Upstart Company NYC, copyright 2012, Dan Persons. All rights reserved. No unauthorized duplication permitted.